Hey, what up, y'all? It's your girl, Vivica Fox, and welcome to my podcast, Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. Ooh, ladies, get on up in here today, y'all. I got some butterscotch fineness for y'all. Yes, I have a fabulous actor, singer, and awesome dad. Please welcome to Hustling with Vivica A. Fox, my boy, Christian Keys.
Vivica, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. You know, trying to make it through Corona. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to stay as safe and healthy and active as possible. And I only go outside when I have to, so that way I can take my goofy behind home.
You are too much. Because, you know, I follow you on Instagram, so I see you. You be going out, you know, doing your thing, trying to make it happen. But I hear that you're now currently in Atlanta, not working on one, but two projects?
Yes, thankfully. Thank God. We're shooting season 5 of Saints and Sinners, which we're excited because we've got an even wider fan base due to the previous 4 seasons hitting Hulu. So now we're shooting season 5 of that. And then as soon as I finish here with that, then it's back home to LA to shoot season 2 of The Family Business, where I play an assassin. But I only assassinate bad people. So it's okay. That. It's allowed.
So you got 2 jobs, which means you've got an excellent agent. What do you play on Saints and Sinners?
On Saints and Sinners, I play Levi. Initially, I was the interim executive CEO and chief financial officer of this church, and try to hold stuff together. But Cyprus is just so shady and politically corrupt, and you know, this person is loaning this person money, this person killed that person. And the backdrop was all, you know, a church. And so it was like, if you pick the show Scandal up and set it inside of a church, that was basically Saints and Sinners, which I loved. When I read the script, I was like, oh, I love this. This thing is this crazy. It's amazing. So that's Levi.
You are working with my girl, Vanessa Bell Calloway, correct?
Love her. Love her.
Vanessa's actually directing some of you guys' episodes, right?
She absolutely is. And I'm not sure which tribe of vampire she's a part of, but Vanessa Bell Calloway doesn't age. She still looks like coming to America.
Wait a minute. Vanessa just celebrated her 32nd wedding anniversary. Okay.
She absolutely did. And she's such a beautiful spirit and unfiltered soul, much like yourself. Authentic. And that's rare. That's few and far between. So I love it. I love talking to her. I love more so even listening to her. Yeah. And just the experiences and the stories.
No doubt. Now, as I said, you've got 2 shows you're working on. So, you know, for an African-American leading man, that is just such an amazing blessing. And speaking of African-American actors, you know, we lost a true, true class act, which had with Boseman passing. Did you know him? Had you ever got an opportunity to work with him or meet him?
I met him a few times in passing, award shows and events and things like that. And he was always a gracious brother, super talented, super talented. I'm just finding videos of him singing and rapping.
Me too.
And he was preparing to do, before he got Get On Up, he's preparing to do the Tupac musical. And they were workshopping that. And he was just such a talented and amazing man. And the fact that he fought to bless us with, Black Panther, to bless us with Marshall, you know, the Thurgood Marshall story, to bless us with so much of his best days and his last days. He fought every day to give us his best when he barely had enough for himself. Yeah. And he was a real life walking, talking superhero. We're going to continue to celebrate him and the things that he stood for forever. He spent time with those kids in the cancer wards. Yes. And we didn't even know why he was so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. Now we know.
Yeah.
And that was big.
That was big. Now, speaking of, you know, what he passed from, did it make you, because you've always been a person, let me tell y'all, Christian got bodied by Jake, y'all. I'm just going to let y'all know that. So, you know, I know he'd be taking care of his health. But did it make you, like, say, okay, let me make sure I get my checkups, that as a brother, I do my tests? Because, you know, so many times we're like, oh, I got it. I'm good, you know?
Yeah, no, it absolutely did. As a Black man, you know, I'm not in a rush to go run to the doctor. I might not want to know what he got to tell me, but if this, for real,
real
but if this taught me anything, it it let me know that, you know, hey, make sure that you go get everything done every 6 months. You check up on everything. When they found that he was already stage three. And that's, and that was 2016.
As a young and man, what was he in late 30s? You know?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, when he passed, he was 43.
Wow.
So, you know, and I've lost friends and associates from like breast cancer before at 28. Yeah. Lost a friend of mine. And she, you know, she was here one day. And then a couple weeks later, she
was gone.
Couldn't speak and couldn't see us. And then a couple weeks, you know, a week later, she was gone. Yeah. So if anything, you know, wanting to celebrate fellow icons, people who have inspired me, you know, who inspired us and our culture and our community, and just who are inspiring in general. And my new thing is going to be a consistent celebration of greatness every chance I get, and just give folks their flowers while they're here. Because we got to do a better job of that. Let's not wait until, you know, I'm glad they were making the Andre Harrell docuseries.
Yes.
But, you know, we probably could have got on that sooner.
No doubt.
I wish you could have seen it. And 2020, man, it took Kobe, you know, it took Chadwick, man.
Yes. 2020 has just been just a year of making you go, damn, what the hell is going on, you know?
If you don't have no faith, if you don't believe in something bigger than you, you're in trouble, because 2020 will have you question everything.
This is Jess Betancourt, the host of DNA ID, the only true crime podcast that exclusively covers cases solved using forensic genealogy. DNA ID goes behind the headlines to answer your questions about this remarkable new crime-solving tool, how it works, how cases are selected, why the cases were unsolved for so long, and how the justice system is addressing it. I include input from law enforcement to give you the inside scoop that we all crave with a straightforward, no-nonsense delivery. You can find DNA ID on any podcast platform. Episodes come out weekly on Mondays.
Now, you have, let's talk about your son, because I hear your son was a big fan of Chadwick's, that from Black Panther.
Yes.
Tell us about your son.
I took him initially. I took him to see it. And, you know, clearly any superheroes, you know, teenagers are going to love that anyway, but especially a Black superhero. And I think the way his eyes lit up, he felt like that could be him.
Now, your son's name is Christian Jr.?
Yeah. Christian Keys.
Yes, Christian Keys Jr.
Yes.
With his little fine self. I can remember seeing him just growing up right in front of my eyes, Christian. Every time I go to your Instagram and you have a video or something of him, I'm like, dang.
And he's big. He's about my size now. He's amazing. I'm the one, actually, I was trying to reach him at work because he's got a job now.
He got a job, Christian.
Christian has a full-time job.
What
he's like that.
At? Where are you
I
want
to grind. He's working at a fast food restaurant. He's like, I want to grind. I want to save. I want to earn my money. I want to this, that, and the other. And, you know, as a dad, you celebrate that because I like that work ethic in him. But also, I want to give him the independence and responsibility that comes with that. So I'm here for it. But I called him and told him about it. And it didn't hit him really till the next day. And he was like, wait, Dad, I know you told me yesterday, but Black Panther, really, he's really gone. And I'm like, yeah. Mm. And he was younger than I am. And so, you know, I was like, listen, if that teaches us anything, Christian, you know, chase your dreams. Have some audacity to run down your dreams in a full sprint. Chase them, grab onto them with both hands, and you go do the things that you are passionate about, because you don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. So I got to go after it. And if anything, you get to see me unapologetically, authentically live my purpose. And if I do that, then I'm fine with whatever happens. But we had a good talk. We had an unfiltered, very transparent talk about that.
And I just want to let all my listeners out there know that the main reason why I wanted to bring up your son, because you are such an awesome dad to me. I mean, Christian and I, let me give y'all a little history about me and Christian. Christian and I worked together on several plays. We did Cheaper to Keeper with Brian McKnight.
That was amazing.
Many, many moons ago. And then you cast me in the stage play, Lord, All Men Can't Be Dogs, which I appreciate that casting, even though we worked hard on that, but we got it done.
Yeah.
But when I first met you, the thing that I admired about you more than anything else was your dedication to being a good father and being present in your son's life. And we're seeing now, especially with Black Lives Matter and all of the recent killings that have happened of African-American men, how it is so important for our men to be in their sons' lives, to let them know the right and the wrong things to do, to be a good man and to, you know, just be there and to be present, because I think that that's what makes awesome men for Generation Next.
Yes, yes. And I agree. I absolutely... Christian marches with me when I march. If I feel like it, you know, if I feel like it might be a little wild, then I won't take it. But, you know, if I feel like it's a safe one that's going to stay nonviolent and a peaceful protest, I'll take him, because I want to ingrain that in his DNA. I need that stitched into the fabric of who he is. But we also, we march for women's rights. We march for gay rights. We march for everybody's rights, because it's those are human rights. I hate that we have to categorize things like that or compartmentalize things. And as, at some point, we should all be, you know, fighting for human rights. You have the right to be who the hell you are and do your thing, live, love, and be who you are unapologetically. And if that's a problem, then it's a human rights violation, and we should all fight for that collectively. So I love the opportunity, and he'll let me. He'll be like, hey, listen, we're going to hit this protest today. I know you want to get on the PS4, but we're going to go down here for a couple hours and let our voice be heard and let them feel us. And then you can come on back and play to your thumbs, spraying.
I know that's right. But that's good that you're ingraining that in him, that to care about your community and to care about others. You know, that's an excellent seed that you're planting, my brother. But now I want to move on, because speaking of Black Lives Matter, you had a Karen incident.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I did. I run these stairs in Hollywood when I'm in LA. Literally, like 4 days a week, 5 days a week, and I don't know why she took a particular offense to me, but she would always come out there, this particular Karen, and harass me. Or another personal trainer that I'm good friends with, Brian. You know, we'll knock the stairs out and then go on and start our day. But it's like a good, like The Rock says, it's a good anchor for me. I don't eat. I get up in the morning, you know, wash up, brush my teeth, and then I go run the stairs, and then I start my day. And she was always out there. And then finally, one day, I had my phone on me. I just could smell it in the air. I was like, yeah, she's going to come over here and really get on my back, and I'm going to give her the blues today. So she did. And I got time today, Karen. So it was just... And there's a way to... I've learned over the years, you know, through various meltdowns or mistakes, that there's a way to handle things without profanity, without yelling, without an explosion. There's a way to handle things even with humor and levity. And thankfully, it ended up going that way. And what's even funnier, a friend of mine, Suede, took the video and...
did the Karen remix.
And made a song out of it. Right. He did the Karen remix, and it's everywhere. Karen, please stop harassing us. Please stop harassing us. Mind your business.
It was just so awesome. So, when I saw that and then the remix, I was just like, oh my God. And see, that was a good way of laughing at that, because sometimes the insanity that comes from people and what they choose to get into your world that day, that you didn't take that negatively. Like, you're like, here I come, and today I'm going to be ready and I got time. And it turned into the remix. Okay.
Exactly. And she doesn't know. Well, I told her, because she came out and harassed me since then. I was like, I said, you do understand that like 4 million people have seen you acting a complete fool out here harassing me. Are you proud of that?
You went viral.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope you're proud. I hope you're proud.
So let's go back. Let's go back a little bit and talk about where you're from. You're from the Midwest. Where are you from in the Midwest?
Born in Detroit, grew up in Flint, Michigan, which is like a smaller, more country version of Detroit.
Okay.
But both hood and hood.
I know that's right.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. It was, you know, the city was good to me. Most of the bulk of the foster homes that I was in were in Flint, Michigan. A couple were in Detroit, one or two in Pontiac, one in Ann Arbor. But I basically grew up in Flint, Michigan. Flint raised me.
Wow. You know, Christian, you just said something I totally spaced and forgot about, that you were raised in the foster care system. Like you're so you've become such a wonderful man. And oh my God, Christian, that just hit me. Because I remember us, when we were doing the play, we would talk about that. Mm-hmm. And that always blew me away. Tell us, to share a little bit about that, whatever you choose to share, that you were raised.
Yeah, no, I'm you know me, I'm super transparent with it. And I think that helped with my healing from that, being able to talk about it, being able to talk to other foster kids, group home children, juvenile detention center, you know, youth, hoping maybe to steer them out of graduating from juvenile detention center to jail.
Yes.
And I was in probably 12, I stopped counting at 12, but 12 to 15 foster homes, three group homes.
What?
A few detention centers, a few boys' homes and residential placements. I was adopted twice, and the first one was brutal. It was vicious child abuse.
Oh,
horrific.
My God.
And I think all those things just grounded me and shaped me to be appreciative for moments like this, you know, to treat everybody fair, to treat the janitor like the CEO.
Yeah.
To reach back, to give back. Yesterday we did a voter registration drive here in Atlanta and free COVID testing. To make things like that a priority because of, you know, where I came from and my struggle early, that other people's struggle is also still to this day my struggle. Mm. And, you know, it allows me to stay grounded and stay level headed and just appreciate, really, really appreciate where, you know, what I get to call my job, what we get to create and play dress up and make believe on set every day. And that's amazing. Mm. And that's a blessing. And I don't have to be here. Like, God could have easily, you know, put somebody else in my position. So I owe it to him. I owe it to myself. I owe it to my son and everybody who ever believed in me to appreciate it and do my level best every possible opportunity. And then also give back every chance that I can.
So you were, the first one didn't go well. The second one, did you stay with that family?
Yes, they are still, when you hear me say mother or daddy, that's my mother and father. My best friend, towards the end of high school, he had told his mom that I was still in the foster home. Mm. And so she stopped me. You know, I was over there hanging out one day and she was like, hey, let's just go to the foster home and get your stuff. And you just stay here until y'all go off to college. And I was like, no, Miss Johnson, it's cool. You know, I'll just stay there. She said, get in the car. We're going to get your shit.
Yeah.
And then we went and got it. And that was the adoption process. No paperwork, no nothing. We went and got my clothes from the foster home. They cleared out a room. I had my own room. I was so excited to do chores and stuff. And because I had a family fighting for me that wasn't getting a check. Yeah. And, you know, that loved me for who the heck I was. And
that's like guardian angel. Yeah, 25,
yeah. 25, almost 30 years later, you know, they're still my family. So
love
it's
that.
Yeah, they're Michelle Johnson, an amazing superhero of a black woman.
We love you, Michelle. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in his life and like providing love, because that's all kids really want, man, is guidance and love. And so I'm glad that, because you're a good man, Christian. I love you to death. I do. Okay.
Thank you, Vera. Right. I love you back.
Okay. Now we're going to go into career, because you know me, I get real sensitive. I might be tough, but I get real sensitive, especially when it comes to kids, because love, that's all they want. You know, they don't want. Yeah. So I'm glad that happened. So how did you decide now? Okay, you've survived child abuse. You got a family that adopted you. Now you're going to become an actor, a singer. How did that then come into your life?
Because I told God it was going to be music. And he was like, oh, is that what you think? Yeah. He was like, oh, that's cute. That's real cute. Let me tell you what it's going to be. Because I always heard when I was growing up, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I always heard that saying. So I was like, hey, God, listen, so I'm going to be Babyface 2.0. And they're going to come pick me up in a limo with $1 million check.
Yeah.
And guess what didn't happen? That
didn't.
So I started locally in Michigan in theater and doing commercials. You know, I was modeling back in the day. I had that long Tarzan, John the Baptist hair.
Well, look, like that. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know why you be hating on that look, Christian, because when you showed me the picture of it, I wanted to put it on the track and sell it at the Biblical Box Hair Collection. So don't be hating on the good hair, okay? Good hair.
Okay. They kept messing with me. They were like, Keys, you could have been slinging bundles out here. Slinging the bundle. But I was back when I was modeling, I started doing theater. And as soon as I started auditioning for stuff, by the grace of God only, I started booking it. And I had no acting experience. So I immediately went and got I went to the University of Barnes and Noble.
Okay.
I got every book I could get my hands on.
Yeah.
Until I could afford classes. Then I started getting in some scene study classes and some auditioning classes and acting technique. And just because I didn't want to be that guy that didn't have any technique,
right.
You know, just I didn't want to be some pretty boy that couldn't act. And I'm like, okay, well, let me ground this in some substance and some reality and really work with this. And the more I kept studying, the more stuff I kept booking. And I looked up, 03, I was on a nationwide play with Carl Payne, Shirley Murdoch, Regina Bell, Carmen Winans. It was amazing. And then,
do you remember the name of that?
Went from, yes, All Men Can't Be Dogs.
Oh, okay. Well, right.
And that's where I got the idea. I was having a marketing meeting with BET and Image, and they were saying they were looking for, you know, a play to fund. And I'm like, I got one that would be great, actually. And you know what? You know, right off the rip, because we were just working and we had just done Cheaper Keeper. And I'm like, yeah. Hey, Vivica as the lead in this, as the wife, because of the drama and the comedy and the everything. And it's a no brainer. Like, can we?
And we did it.
You know, and they were like, would she do it? I'm like, let me run it by and see if she's available. But she, knowing her tastes, she will appreciate the material and she will knock this out of the park. This is a no brainer. We don't even need to cast this role.
Yeah. And so we did that. Lord, All Men Can't Be Dogs. It was me, you, Johnny Gill, and Elise
Johnny
Neal.
Gill. Yes.
Yeah.
Singing, John Gray. We had a ball.
But I want to take everybody back and just let them know how Cheaper to Keeper for me. I was so happy when they cast you and then you came out. Because let me tell y'all something. So Christian was, Brian McKnight was dogging me out and treating me like crap and was cheating with the white girl in the play. And Christian came through and was the temptation of Christ, y'all. And then he would start singing, y'all. And then he would take off that shirt every night. It was like clockwork. I knew it was coming. I said, here it comes.
Yes.
Because
I can't, I'm not going to listen. I had to talk with myself. This is how I rationalized that whole thing. I was like, listen, I'm not going to out-sing Brian. That guy is a monster. So let me not even try. I'm going to stick to the stuff I'm good at. I'm gonna hit the high notes I know I can hit. I ain't gonna out sing him. I can out abdominal him. I can out ab him.
Right.
I can out ab him. Yeah. So I was like, in his first song, he would lift his shirt and they'd be going crazy and they'd be like, oh, I got something. Y'all gonna cheer for that.
Right.
You're gonna go crazy for this. So it was a blessing to be able to have a love song battle against him. For a woman of your caliber in that show. It was just such a blessing and so exciting for me. Like it felt like a class every night.
We were on that role. We were on the play with that role for like a year or so, weren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't even realize it. Like a lot of people were like, where are you? Where's going on? Where's Vivica? I had to literally go and revamp myself because everybody started being more worried about my damn love life and other stuff that was going on that they forgot I was a good actress. And so with that play, my character got dogged. She got cheated on. I had to reintroduce myself to my audience. And I was out on the road. It's like, you know, I did plays for like 2-3 years, but it was rebranding. And I was glad that I did that because I finally got to go to another level. And speaking of another level for you after the plays, now here comes TV work for you, right?
Yeah, and a bunch of it, thank God. It went after the plays.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I really recommitted myself to wanting to heavily graduate to doing more TV and film.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. So it started slow, you know, a sitcom here, recurring, you know, sitcom there, guest star, recurring. But then as I leaned into it, and again, during that time, I would still take classes. I'd take improv classes with the Groundlings or something like that, or just challenge myself because improv is not easy.
Okay.
It's not easy. And it challenges you and your availability to a certain circumstance that's out of your control. I'm like, oh, y'all gonna make me work.
Work, yes. Because there's a lot of listening and reacting instead of just waiting on your line. You know what I mean? Because you can always tell when you watch actors who's listening, who's doing those things that just fill in a scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And who's thinking and working consistently connected to the moment that we're creating, who's just really doing a solid job of regurgitating lines that they memorized.
Yeah, that's just awful. So speaking about filling in things before you became Mr. TV star, you was also Mr. Leading Man in some videos. Tell us about that. Who'd you work with?
I was a video vixen.
Okay, let him know. Break out these receipts, Christian Keys.
I did, man, listen. Before I was the lead, I was background in or like extras in Nelly videos, Fergie
Extra?
Videos,
you?
Britney Spears. When
no
I first
way.
Moved to LA, yeah, I'm sitting on set with Britney. I'm typing in one of her videos and in between takes, she sits down on my desk. And this was right after she had had her meltdown and she had kind of came back reintroducing herself. And I was like, hey, Britt, good to have you back. And she looked at me because, you know, I don't have no sense.
Right.
But then she sat there and talked to me. She was like, you talk to me. I'm like, yeah, you're human.
Right.
And she was like, well, nobody else here. Everybody acts like they're scared to talk to me, like I'm going to break or something. I was like, no, it's good to have you back and good to have you making music again. Welcome
good.
Back.
Good.
And
good,
so,
good,
but
good.
I
we root
blinded.
For Britney. We root for Britney. Come on,
yeah.
y'all. Come
yeah.
on, Britney.
Yeah. Just in general, you want to see human beings do good. That's
exactly.
all. I just want to see. It's room for all of us to shine, all of us to be great. And that was a big thing for me because it felt like it was a gentle reminder in the moment that, hey, you belong in this space. She was
it.
Comfortable speaking with you because you are a peer, whether you know it or not. You're
yeah.
a peer.
You just talk to her.
Yeah. Yeah. You're human. And
yeah.
if you keep down this path, you're going to be in spaces and places to where your presence is going to be appreciated. It's going to be a blessing and you are going to be blessed for being there, but you're going to be received as the person that God created you to be, somebody powerful and talented. And those kind of confirmations really helped. So when I got the Ashanti video or the Carrie Hilson video, the Lettuce
yes.
video, Mariah and Nicki
yes.
Minaj, you know, those things, it was amazing to work with them. But also I showed up and did my job because it was just a genuine appreciation of the moment. Like, man, this is really, you know, a great opportunity. Let me show up, do my job, be on time, be professional, and make them remember that I was a treat or a pleasure to work with, that I wasn't problematic, and that I did a good job.
So from the videos, when did you get your first contract job on TV? What was that? That you said, they was like, you serious regular, right?
Oh.
You number one or number two on the call sheet.
Seriously, probably In Contempt. That would have been, we shot it in 2017. It aired in 2018. It was a legal drama. And,
okay. Tell
you
us
know,
about that.
Who doesn't love the opportunity or the idea of pleading your case or arguing your case in front of a jury and a judge and a courtroom full of people? I'm a huge fan of Law and Order. So I.
Me too.
You know, I'll be at home. You know, like one of my favorite drills is I'll cut the volume off and leave the closed captioning on. And I will lean into whatever they're saying as if I'm in the courtroom.
Really?
Yeah. It's. I don't
That's
know
an interesting technique. Where'd you get that from?
I don't. I was just. I wasn't in class at the moment, and I was like, man, this is a really good movie, and I love this character. Ooh, yeah, I'm a weirdo, so I was like, let me cut the volume down, cut the closed caption on, and let me be the character. And let me, but if I'm going to do it, I got to do it. So I'm like, you know, I don't, Your Honor, such and such and such, you know, he keeps cutting me off. I object.
Mm.
It was amazing. And I was like, oh, I like this. I need to keep this as one of my drills for when I'm not working, I can still sharpen my skill set. I can still hone my craft and I can still stay hungry. And this will allow me to stay humble because I'm leaning into something that I have no knowledge about.
Now I want to ask you this because, you know, a lot of people, they think because you're good looking, you're tall, you know what I mean? Done, you know, people, you can sing, you can do all these things. Have you ever felt that your looks were a crutch? Do you know what I mean? Like for me, I had a hard time getting street cred with people. Like people
right.
used to just look at me and be like, you said, pretty boy, pretty girl. Oh, she can't act or she ain't from the streets. Did you ever experience that in your career?
Absolutely. I think people will definitely try to put you in a box if you allow them.
Mm.
And sometimes it's because they're uninformed, because they, you know, they see a certain look. Like, be clear. You know, remember, I am from Flint, Michigan. I've had
I know that's right.
on me. I've been jumped multiple times by gangs. or for being in the wrong neighborhood or for whatever. And, it, you know, God made sure I got out of it. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, I might have got my stitches or I might have got my black eye and a split lip and you know, beaten over the shoulder with a broomstick in the middle of it. But I made it out. And so the reality of any circumstance that you can put on a piece of paper, I've been through something very close to, if not the exact thing. So it's not a, so once I started, by the grace of God, once people started seeing that I'm much more than the cute guy at the end of the movie that saves the day. Mm-hmm. You know, once that happened, once I started recurring around 2017 and like Supernatural, I had powers and I could fly and I could throw you across the room. If I just waved my hand, I was an angel. I was an archangel.
Wow. You did a lot of green screen?
Yeah, that. And then some green screen and then some actual on set because their post-production team is
okay.
Crazy talented. So, you know, they're 15 seasons. So they're a machine, a finely tuned machine that just runs well. But finally, after playing some bad guys and some villains and a couple superheroes or people with superpowers, people really started to, you know, lean into the fact like, hey, he ain't some pretty boy. I believe him in everything that he does. And that's all I needed. I had one of my mentors who is now a household name, and I won't say who it is, but he called me in the middle of watching an episode. And he was like, hey, man, I haven't seen much of your work in the last few years, but you are killing it in Contempt. Like working the courtroom, you know, back and forth banter with the judge and with the officer and the this, that, and the other, and finding levity. And he's like, yo, you ready? You about to go. And those conversations absolutely really just made me want to get back to work and continue to work hard to get better. They don't go to my head. They go to my heart. So that's where I am right now.
I love that. Another thing I want to talk about is this little thing that you also say on your Instagram all the time too. I don't want nothing. Didn't want nothing. Where'd that come from?
You know what? That came from actual conversation. Like, I'll call friends and family members, you know, and it'll be a 2 or 3 minute conversation. I'll be like, okay, right. You good over here? Y'all eating good? Y'all corona free? Okay. I ain't want nothing. Just checking on you. Aww. I'll talk to you later. And that's really, it's just a lot of times people will call us and, you know, sometimes they want something.
The sometimes, majority of the time. You know,
yeah, majority of the time they want something. I love those calls when my friends or family members just call. Like, I love when they call, period, because that means that they're on this side of the grass and they still with us. But I really, really love those calls when they just call to see how the hell I'm doing. And like, hey, man, hey, Keys, you okay? You always checking on everybody else. You're marching, you're protesting, you're a dad, you're an actor, you're writing the show, you're doing this, that, the other. Are you okay? Are you at peace? Are you eating good? Are you getting some rest? Are you taking your turmeric and the echinacea to keep that corona off for you? Okay, good. I ain't want nothing. That's where it came from.
Yeah. And do you have a hashtag with it yet when you post it? Oh, of course you do.
And that's Christy and even Keys. Shirts. I trademarked it. I don't
T-shirt. Play. You said trademark and T-shirts coming too.
Yes, I trademarked it, and the T-shirts are available. I went to the school of Vivica Fox.
You know what I'm saying?
I went to Vivica Fox University. I know what's going on.
Okay, right. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Okay. So, Christian, what drives you?
To be honest, man, just not wanting to disappoint God or my son.
Oh.
And it's crazy because Chadwick said something in an interview. He said something about, you know, when they bury me, I don't want 1 ounce of unused potential in me. I want to have used everything that God gave me while I was here. And what's crazy is that he knew exactly what he was saying.
Yeah.
And he meant it like that because he knew what he was going through. We didn't know it that way. So we didn't receive it like we could have, but I'm going to receive that thing right there. And I'm going to walk and talk with that. I want no unused potential, no unused drive or passions that God's given me, you know, and that he's going to bless if I actually chase it. I don't want any of that left in me when God comes to get me finally. I want to show the world that the little black boy that was a foster kid that they kept passing around like old clothing. That he healed. I forgave the people who did what they did. I stopped blaming myself for stuff that ain't my fault. And that I went full-fledged as hard as I could after my passions. And at that point, God's got to bless him because he can't lie. It's a couple things he can't do. He can't fail and he can't lie. And he said that if we do everything in our power to chase down the things that he gives us a passion for, he will bless it. But we got to give him something to bless.
You got
to
do the work.
Give him.
You got to do the work.
Yeah. He can't water it if we don't plant that seed. That seed is in the acting class. That seed is in the vocal lesson. That seed is in the you know, taking extra language or working on an accent so I can play a British detective.
Yeah.
You know, when working on that on the weekend when I'm not getting paid to do it.
That's right.
Seed planting. That is seed planting. That motivates me.
What tips do you have for aspiring actors?
I would say this too. I would say for our actors, our next wave of actors. One, I would recommend, just my suggestion, never refer to yourself as aspiring actor. If you have a passion for it, you're an actor.
I know that's right. Get after it.
Yeah, declare it, because there's some you're owning it and you're taking some power back. If you say I'm aspiring, you're tiptoeing. You're gracefully sauntering into it. I'm an actor. I want to learn everything I can. I want to study white, black. I want to study every bit of cinematography, all the film, all the actors. I want to study male and female favorites. I want to study from Sidney Poitier to Meryl Streep. I want all of it. I'm an actor.
Know the craft that you're getting into. That's what I tell people, because I hate when people, they go from like thinking they doing Instagram videos to now they want to become a professional actor. Like, oh baby, there's a huge difference in between that.
And exactly.
If you take the classes and you learn to become an actor and not have a tiny moment for the gram, it's two different things. You know what I'm saying?
It's a huge different thing.
Yeah.
And you will see, and we've seen a couple that are working consistently, and I'm happy for them. But we've also seen some people, you know, get on the front side of something that's not a cell phone, and it's kind of thin. There's not a lot there because there's not a lot of technique behind it. And right. I would say, you know, for our up and coming, for our next wave, do the work.
Do the work.
If you can't afford classes, go to the University of Barnes & Noble.
I love that you say that.
Yes, go to University of Amazon Prime. They got hella acting books. Ain't no shame in that, man. I still got books. I've loaned books to celebrities. I've given books. My favorite books, had to go back and buy them again.
Wow.
Because they were that good. But there's jewels in there that can keep you honest and help you find more moments of honesty. Work your stuff, work your scenes, work your moments until they're honest. Layer of magic that lies on top of the layer of honesty. That's where I strive to be. I want to find that. I always work it. I'm my biggest critic. So I always work it until I believe me, which is a lot. And then on top of that layer is available. There's available moments of magic in every single moment that we can find if we dare to keep working and have that audacity. And I'd say if you are going to be an actor in the future, have that audacity.
Now, let's talk to our brothers out there that are fathers. What tips do you have for raising kids in this moment, in this time that we're all now having to live through, and more exposure to racism and crime and discrimination? What tips do you have for fathers out there that you want to pass on them to raise good young men like you're doing with your son, Christian Keys Jr.?
I'd say this. I'd say, one, most of my learning was OJT, on the job training. And if I learned one thing, it was to create a safe space for my child, who's now a young man and pretty soon a man, to voice his opinion, even if he feels like he's correcting me. As long as he does it respectfully, it's not wrong.
Mm.
Because you empower their voice.
Yes.
And if I'm Papa Bear, I'm the biggest, baddest man you gonna see while he's growing up. And if I allow him the room and the space to correct me if I'm wrong, or bring something up that I forgot, or, you know, say, hey, Dad, you know, I didn't, you know, really like that dish, or I didn't this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's power in that. Yes. Yeah, because then again, remember, if I'm the biggest, baddest man, you know, thing walking next to the Dwayne or Rock Johnson or somebody, then and he can have that freedom with me, then he'll have that freedom to be authentically himself and to speak mm-hmm. his mind.
Exactly.
And to say, hey, leave him alone. Why y'all bullying him?
Yeah.
That's wrong. It's not okay. You know, he'll have the freedom and the fortitude to speak up and stand up for something bigger than himself and not let himself be bullied and but also not to be a bully. When we stifle our children's ability to speak their mind, I feel like we step on the things that they're feeling and we force it down. Eventually that's going to come out one way or another. So if we teach them how to properly express those things, then that's the right way to do it, in my opinion. If we stifle those things, then they're going to explode at some point, and that's not healthy. So I try to make sure that he can talk to me, that I'm not always mm-hmm. right, that I hear him yes. out, that I've learned the tricks of conversation with teenagers. You got to keep asking open-ended questions so that way they can't answer with a yes or no. They have to yes. actually talk to you.
Yes, because you yeah. know, with these phones nowadays, sometimes the kids don't even want to look up at you and yeah. answer you and be like, you're like, no, talk to me. Put that phone yeah. down, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so no, that's present. Rule number one. Yeah. If we talking, yeah, bingo. And that was my next thing. Be present. Yes. Be present. And if you're not physically present at that moment or for that day, still make them feel your presence. Reach out, text them, call mm-hmm. them daily. Yes. You know, me and my son been saying our prayers every night since he was about three. And I love that part because it connects us and God at the end of the day, no matter where I am, you know, where I am on earth, what I'm filming, you know, I'll make time. I'll step off set. I'll be like, hey, yeah. listen, I'm 10-1.
I remember.
Tell him I'm peeing. Tell him yeah. I'm going to pee. I'm going to pray with my son and then I'll be back.
Yeah, I'm telling y'all. The one thing I can yeah. tell you about Christian Keys, that was what I admired about you more than anything else was that, I mean, you took good care of yourself, you applied yourself, and more importantly, you were just always present in your son's life. And I've always admired that about you. So before I let you go,
thank you.
Because we're coming to the end, our little conversation went quick.
I know, I told you.
Yeah. What current projects you working on, brother?
Well, with the season 5 of Saints and Sinners, we'll be wrapping that up within the next month. Mm-hmm. So that's probably going to be on air. That may be on air before the year's over. But people have been demanding that. So Saints and Sinners season 5, that's coming. Mm-hmm. The Family Business on BET Plus, the second half of season 2, that's coming. We're filming that currently. So, and then as soon as I can tell you about it, I'll tell you about it, but, I'm not legally allowed to tell you about it yet,
okay.
But I sold a TV show, and they love the pilot. And they're allowing me to write the first season. So I'm writing
Yay!
Episode 5 right
sure,
now.
You're writing, you're acting, you're developing things. You got a new t-shirt that's going to be coming out. Hashtag, I don't want nothing. I mean, you're yes. making it do what it do.
Yeah. I'm glad to be working. And I appreciate the blessing of being blessed. That's why I feel like it continues to happen.
I love it. Well, that leads us into today's hustle hack. Today's hustle hack is hashtag don't take it personally. Like your boy Christian Keys said, haters, you're going to have haters, but don't let your haters get you down. Keep going. Even if you're experiencing racism, sexism, that's their problem. Don't stop doing you. And to all of these kids that are wanting to be the next actors, the next Vivica Fox, the next Christian Keys, as we talked about, do the work. Success
yes.
is not going to come to you. You've got to go and knock on success doors. As a matter of fact, you got to go kick it in. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget to be kind and to be humble, all right? So, listeners, keep your grind going like your girl Vivica Fox and sexy Christian Keys is doing. You know,
thank you.
Keep making it do what it do. Christian, tell our listeners, where can they find you on social media platforms?
Okay, it's real simple. My pages, thankfully, are all verified. If they don't have the little blue check, it's not me. So, at Christian Keys on Twitter, ChristianKeyes on Twitter. That's my Instagram as well, at Christian Keys. And then on Facebook, I'm facebook.com actor Christian Keys. And again, they're all verified. If they're not verified, it's not me.
Before we go, I got to just, that's another real quick one. Christian had people doing the fake pages. Christian will blast you out. I'm just letting you know that. To all of the people trying to do a fake page on Christian Keys, don't do it. Christian gonna screen swipe it. He gonna post it and let everybody know you a faker. Ain't that right, Christian?
I sure am. I get one every week. It.
You know why? That's because you got it going on, my brother. You got it going on. You got it. So, Christian, thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing my podcast. I'm so glad that we can make this happen. I admire you. I hope that God continues to bless your career, bless you as a father, and keep you safe. Okay, brother?
Thank you, Viv. Love you. Look forward to mixing it up with you in front of the screen and behind the screen, you know, sometime soon. But yes, stay safe, stay healthy, and just much love. Keep shining, queen.
All right. I promise to. So listen, you guys, follow your girl. I'm verified like Christian Chu. Don't be going to no fake pages. Follow your girl at Miss Vivica Fox on Twitter, at Miss B Fox on Instagram, and Hustling with Vivica Fox has its own social media platforms at Vivica Hustling. Subscribe, download, and listen to Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. Until next time, darlings, bye for now. Mwah.